Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
It's the last day of April. And I don't know if you realize this, Chris Canty. Today is 50 days, 50 days since we last saw sports. And I guess it would be that bizarro first half at the Garden between St. John's and Creighton at the Big East tournament. But 50 days since we've last had a sporting event.
Which is still really ridiculous when you think about the Big East trying to move forward with that tournament when you have professional sports leagues shutting it down. But that's neither here nor there, Dave. I mean, I guess you want to say we're another day closer to being able to have live team sports. But, you know, we got the report from Jeff Passan yesterday, and we thought that we were getting closer to seeing Major League Baseball put in plans to be able to get this thing started up. And now, according to Buster Olney, when he was on the Barton Hahn show, he's saying that he doesn't know whether or not we're going to have baseball. So, I mean, I don't know what to think at this point, Dave. I'm trying to be optimistic about things, but I really don't have a whole lot of tangible things to hold on to right now.
It's weird, Rick, because every day you get like these little nuggets of story of, ooh, the NBA, or ooh, you know, NHL could come back. And then you hear stories, you know, like Buster Olney on Barton Hahn yesterday, or, you know, just other people reporting, or Fauci saying, you know, not so fast. We're not that close to sports. It's an emotional roller coaster, the idea that sports is right around the corner, but maybe it's not right around the corner.
Well, I think that's exactly how the people that are in charge of these leagues that are making these decisions feel. I mean, the reason why I mentioned yesterday during the show that, you know, with the NBA, you know, already, you know, talking about having a Christmas start for next season. And then, you know, I kind of mentioned that the NHL would do something similar just to give themselves enough time to try to, you know, when they do restart the upcoming season, not this season, they're going to try to finish this season, but, you know, give themselves as much time as possible to have fans in stands. And then, you know, being on these phone calls before the show, I mean, it was just, okay, well, what if you do this? Well, if we do this, then, you know, we got to make sure we have this, this, and this. And then if this idea is to happen, then we need this, this, and this. It's like they're good ideas. They're not ideal ideas. But even when you come to, you know, the best of the ideas, the amount of hurdles that you have to jump over to try to actually make this a reality is crazy. It's crazy. Like, I mean, it's just like you bring up something which you think is a good idea, and then, you know, the person that you're talking to will give you 10 different things that have to happen in order for that to take place. So what sounds easy is, I mean, is there's so many hoops and everything
else.
There's so many different people. No, nothing.
Nothing. If you think it's just, oh, well, you go to Arizona and it's just easy and you go into Biodome and guys don't leave the hotel, nothing will be easy. Nothing. I mean, for us to get sports back right now, the way the virus is still spreading and people are being affected, is going to be jumping through hurdles. And I know that all the leagues want to get it done, and I know the government wants to get it back, and I'm not saying it won't, and I'm hopeful that it does, but it's going to be jumping through hurdles, over hurdles, to get these sports back.
And what adds another layer to it, Dave, is the financial implications of it all. I mean, you hear about what's going on with Major League Baseball and the owners and them going back and forth with the players. They thought they had an agreement in place, but now the owners want the players to make concessions if we're going to be playing in empty stadiums. It feels like it's a nightmare, Dave, in terms of, okay, even if we clear all of the hurdles from the medical standpoint, you know, where are we when it comes to the players' willingness to go out there and play the game, to be that distraction for everybody in this country after we're dealing with this pandemic? Where are the players going to be at this thing in terms of the finances of it and playing in empty stadiums? That's the part of it that we have no idea about.
Yeah, that really, I mean, when push comes to shove, Chris, you're exactly right. There's the haves and the have-nots, and there's everyone between owners and players. Everyone has their own personal interests in mind, and it's tough to get that many people that have. I mean, even going back to yesterday, I mean, what Steve Kerr said, like as far as he's concerned, the season's over.
Right, they're done.
I mean, you name the bad teams in each of these sports. They're like, well, what the hell are we playing for? I'm going to all of a sudden now, I'm going to come back, do a 2-week training camp, and then play a couple games for what reason? No reason. Like, why am I going to expose myself to potentially getting COVID-19 because you want to finish your season? And then there's Major League Baseball teams that, I mean, they rely on the gate. Like, they need that money. So they're like, well, why? I mean, it's going to cost me more to start this thing up. I'm not going to have any fans come to these games. So, I mean, what's my motivation? We're not going to win a World Series. What am I doing? What are we doing?
Yeah, no, it's everyone has their own agenda. You have to think about the health and well-being of these guys, obviously, first and foremost. The financial implication is huge as a secondary. TV revenue is huge. Where are you going to play? I mean, again, it's jumping through hoops to get this thing done. And, you know, NHL sounds like it's starting to make some inroads in potentially, you know, I don't want to say getting going because I think we're a little premature for that, but ideas to really ratchet this thing up. And like I said, we've said this the entire time. I think we've been pretty uniform as a show on this. If it means the Rangers don't get into the postseason then that's what it means. You know, ordinarily I'd go crazy if the Rangers were a point out and I thought we're playing well and had a chance to beat these teams. But whatever it is, if you tell me the Islanders get in and the Rangers don't, but that hockey returns in, I don't know, mid-June, late June, early July, whatever the case may be, I would sign for that. I think this is the year, Rick, that you have to take your personal feelings of how it's done and just be happy that it does return at some point.
Yeah, but I don't think you're at that point yet. I think we're closing in time-wise on that point where I think currently, I mean, what the NHL would like to do is finish up the regular season and then go into the playoffs. But that, I mean, that the amount of obstacles that are involved with that, I mean, that probably is going to be at the end of the day too much. So I think once we get closer to more of a drop dead date, where we have to come up with something. Either we're going to do one thing or we're not going to do anything and the season's going to be canceled. That's when you'll come to the realization that you're not going to make everyone happy with this decision.
No.
I guess my biggest question is, when would that drop dead date be? Because they're already talking about having informal workouts in the middle of May and then leading up to, I guess, some kind of 2 or 3 week training camp before you get going again. So Rick, in your opinion, when would they absolutely have to start, you know, whatever regular season that they're going to have or whatever playoff schedule they're going to have, as when are they going to have to start that as to not, you know, jeopardize the start of the following season?
Well, I think so far, I mean, from what I've been told, I mean, they're going to try to, you know, reopen this thing sometime in May to, you know, the teams to have guys come to the facility. Then you're going to have a training camp. I think when push comes to shove, as much as they want to have the regular season, I don't think that makes enough sense to do it just because of, I mean, now all of a sudden, rather than have two cities, you may be talking about four different cities and you got to get, I mean, you're going to need approvals and tests and everything else. I think it's going to end up just being the playoffs. And I would say, I mean, the NFL, listen, I'll give them credit because they're hell bent. They have no problem pushing their season, the start of next season back to December. So you're probably looking sometime, hopefully sometime in June when you start back up.
So I guess it's really like almost work backwards. If the next season is going to start in December, when do you have to be done with this season by then?
Exactly right. Like how much, like, because now you got your draft and there's things. I mean, how do you not jeopardize the players' health moving forward for the upcoming season? Like how much time do they need off before you start up, you know, the following year's training camps and everything else?
Yeah. So if you start in December and you work backwards, then what do you need? 2 months in between? 2.5 months in between? So you have to be done by what? Mid to late September then, if that's the case?
I know basketball said that they wanted to be done around Labor Day weekend. That's what they said. If they were going to come back and have playoffs, they want to be done around then, and then they would push back the start of the regular season to Christmas Day.
I'll tell you what, we're not going to get this postseason in any of these. Hockey doesn't really do it, but the NBA does it where you have a game one on Monday, game two on Wednesday, and game three the following Monday.
Like, no, there's
that's
no
not going to be an out. You're going to get in there. You're going to start banging out games.
It's every other day. You'll play every other day. You'll have all the playoff teams in one city. You'll have however many games you have on Monday. Then you'll play Tuesday, Wednesday. There'll be no days off. There's no travel days.
It's almost like you want to go back to the old format with the NBA, right, Dave? Instead of having that 7-game series in the first round, you want to have a 5-game series?
I think you should.
You know what I'm saying? Best of five? I mean, that just makes sense. I mean, you got over half the teams making the playoff field.
And how many matchups really, honestly, are going to be intriguing in the first round of the NBA? Right? I mean, Milwaukee and God knows who, I don't even know who the eighth seed would be. You need to see 7 games, best of 7 of that. I mean, how many series do you look at in the first round? You say, boy, give me best of 7 of that. I think if there's any way you can expedite it, I'd say expedite it.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Rick.
No, but I think to both of your points, I think part of it too, though, is, I mean, if you're hell-bent on trying to get regular seasons because you want more games, then what I would suggest is, because there are teams like in the NBA, for example, like there's a lot of people that want to see Zion Williamson.
Sure.
And right now, I mean, that team is not in the playoffs. Like if you want more games, meaningful games, then maybe you start including, you know, 9, 10, 11, you know what I mean? So then obviously you have like a little bit, a little play-in.
Because I don't need to see the Knicks. There's nothing about seeing Golden State. There's no reason to see these teams. But if you told me that 7's going to play 10 and 8's going to play 9 in a best of whatever, 3-5, whatever the case may be, and then the winner of that will move on, now you know what? I'm very intrigued by that.
Well, because you're exactly what you want. It gives you the extra games, and they're actually meaningful games, as opposed to, you know, trying to all of a sudden make, you know, the rest of your regular season work where you have, you know, four different cities, whatever it ends up being, for games that, I mean, the players don't even care about. There's no interest. If you're not a team that's going to be playing for anything, what's your incentive to come back?
I guess you wouldn't have any, Rick, but when you start talking about including teams like the New Orleans Pelicans and other teams with young superstar players, you're talking about adding them to whatever respective playoff field you're going to have. You're extending the calendar. And so I guess that would be the one thing that would still be a question mark. If you're going to involve those teams, are you still going to be able to get all of that in before your drop dead date on when you have to crown a champion and move forward to the next season?
Well, I understand what you're saying, but what I would suggest is a best of three.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's not going to be that many days.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially if you have, you know, both of those series on the same days, you play two games in one day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not going to be like you have, you know, one team play on Monday and the other team's play on Tuesday. It'd be both teams play on Monday, both teams play on Wednesday, both teams play on Friday. The series is over.
Gotcha. Okay.
Now, currently, Sacramento and New Orleans have the exact same record. I would imagine that the NBA would find a way for New Orleans to have the tiebreaker between those two.
But here's the other. But here's the other part to that, guys.
Rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah. that would be
Zion wins.
By
yes,
the way.
You move on.
Yeah, that would be hilarious. I mean, all it would come down to is having David Griffin in the room, and you know that New Orleans Pelicans are going to get the break. But I guess my biggest thing with that is if you're going to have a best of three or a best of five, could you really justify putting those players at risk? You know, even though you're going to take all the precautions and all of those things, could you justify that knowing that ultimately they're really not playing for anything?
Well, I think it's going to be dependent on, I mean, it's going to be, there's going to be risk involved. Like the players are going to realize going back, there's going to be risk involved. And
mm-hmm.
it's going to be up to, you know, those teams to have that conversation and decide whether or not it's worth it. And the other thing too is, Chris, you've been through these CBA negotiations. I've been through, you know, CBA rule changes and everything else. It's amazing when you sit in a room and you start talking about things, you know, where people's minds go, like what's important to each person. Like I told you, Hainsey wanted no physical testing in training camp. I have one guy when we're talking about, you know, goalie equipment. Yeah. Now
didn't
we
you have one guy
that.
Talking
yeah.
about not wanting to have a roommate on the road?
Yeah, we had roommates. That actually, we actually got that. That was one of the things that we got in the CBA. We got crap. We decided to give them escrow, which is a joke, but we got our own rooms. So that was great. But yeah, I mean, the thing is that everyone has their own interest in mind when they're making these decisions rather than, I mean, ultimately, and I know it's not easy for everybody, you also have to think about, you know, what's in the best interest of your league. You know what I'm saying? Like,
100%.
And moving forward, like, I mean, how is this going to affect next year's salary cap? Like, how's that for the NHL? How's that going to affect, you know, next year's escrow? You know what I'm saying? So that has to go into it too. There's just so many different things, you know, having a chance to talk to some of these guys that they're dealing with, like all these phone calls, them, all these people they have to talk to, trying to get tests, you know, talking, having players call, some that are, you know, hell bent. Let's go. Let's get this thing going. And other ones, you know, I'm really not interested in my family and everything else. So, I mean, there are a lot of things going involved. There are a lot of things going into trying to make these decisions.
And Rick, while you're going down that road, another thing to consider is what's in the best interest of your sport. You know what I'm saying? In terms of where we're at as a country and your sport having an opportunity to be a part of the country turning the page on the coronavirus and this pandemic. I mean, in terms of morale, I mean, this, you know, sports plays a huge role in our culture. So, you know, you have to think that if these players have enough awareness, they recognize that there's something that's integral in terms of them getting back to play because you're ultimately going to help this country move forward. And I think there's a natural opportunity to have more eyeballs on your sport than you otherwise would just because people are starving for content. So, I mean, that has to be a part of the equation as well.
How many sports do you think, Chris, by July the 4th are back in action?
I'm going to say
of the three, right? I mean, we think golf is going to.
I think we're going to have golf back. Golf is going to be back in June.
Of the three major sports that could potentially be back,
Dave, I would probably lean toward basketball and hockey being back before baseball, because you're talking about those seasons resuming, and you can jump straight into the postseason. You can tweak the format a little bit. You're not going to have the entire league participating, so I think that cuts down on the risk factor overall because it's less people. So I think it makes more sense to see basketball and hockey back before we see baseball.
Rick, what would you say?
No, I agree. And we've been saying this too. I mean, for the NBA and NHL, you know, more incentive for the players because, I mean, you're in the playoffs, so you're competing for a championship. And
plus, it's just a better relationship with the NBA and the NBPA, right? It's just a better relationship than with baseball.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's less, yeah, I mean, you're absolutely correct. I mean, it's definitely less adversarial. I just think, though, I mean, I think it's hard for Major League Baseball players to wrap their heads around, you know, especially on teams that probably aren't going to be that good, that I'm going to go, you know, biodome myself up for, you know, X amount of months when in the NHL and NBA, listen, worst case scenario, if you don't want to be away from your family, is that it's going to be a couple months, which sucks, but at the end of it, you may be a champion, which makes it worth it.
And how long, I mean,
who knows?
Most guys are not going to be gone for a couple months. The majority of the guys could be gone for a week or two or three, and then you're eliminated and you go home. It's only going to be the select few who are going to be gone for, you know, the duration of it, where it's going to be two and a half, 3 months potentially.
Dave, I think to Rick's point, I mean, when you're talking about basketball and hockey, the end is a lot closer. You can actually see it. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. With baseball, they haven't gotten this thing started up yet. So I think with all of the unknown involving COVID and treatment protocols and vaccine testing and all of that, I think baseball players are probably a lot hesitant just because you're going to have a longer duration in terms of being able to deal with this and navigate this on top of trying to play games.
I think selfishly, too, from the NHL, I mean, and again, I mean, with all these things being canceled, the Olympics being postponed, I mean, selfishly for the NHL and their relationship with NBC, like this is, I mean, this is the kind of content that NBC would want now because there's no Olympics.
100%.
It's a perfect opportunity. 100%. It's a perfect opportunity for the NHL. Perfect.
Because for the most part, people are trapped in their homes, and this will give you an opportunity to watch sports. I mean, how great will this be? There's nothing you wouldn't watch. I watched guys on their iPhone shooting horse for 15 minutes. If you're going to tell me I'm going to get NHL postseason, which is great to begin with, I would flock to it.
Yeah, but you're not just going to get sports. Like, I mean, fingers crossed, because I think the one thing I will say about our show, and I want to give us a little bit of credit.
Yes, give us credit.
Well, no, and I was listening to the K show yesterday, and they had the governor of New Jersey on, and he was talking about, you know, what to Chris's point about mental health and how important it is to kind of get back to some semblance of normalcy, people working, you know, if you're stuck at home, something to watch, sports being a big part of that, is I have no interest for 3 hours being overly pessimistic or negative or saying, no, definitively, well, you know what, it's going to be a real long time. I can't see it happen. Why? I mean, why do we need to say that? That could be the reality, but I have the rest of my day to deal with that. I don't want to spend 3 hours being negative. I want to focus on, okay, if this thing does come back, we're not going to just get sports. I mean, you're not going to just get NHL playoffs. You could get three NHL playoff games in one day.
Oh,
it's
going to
be like
awesome.
The NCAA.
Awesome.
It's going to be like March Madness, man.
Oh.
You're going to turn
the
TV on and you're going to get game. You're going to have, it's going to be like sensory overload.
Oh, I'd sign for that in a heartbeat. A big, fresh, steaming pizza. Back to back to back hockey. Basketball sprinkled in. Oh, how good would that be?
No, you couldn't beat it. I mean, that's the dream. That's the hope. Get golf sprinkled in, some of the majors. I mean, it would be awesome. It would be exactly what, you know, exactly what we need. Because I'm just looking for, to be completely honest, Dave, and I had to go to the grocery store yesterday.
Uh-oh. I mean, how'd that turn out?
It was good because they actually had a lot of the stuff that I needed.
Mm-hmm.
It got bad when some lady decided that she was going to speed around the grocery store. And as I pulled in for some ground beef, she almost took out my, like she almost ripped up my Achilles. I got smashed with the cart.
Really?
But
that's painful.
Destroyed him. Because she wanted to dive in and get the meat. And I'm like, okay, relax. I'm trying to social distance. Relax, please.
Can you clip that, Sandy?
But here's the thing, though. Like, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong. Are you guys not trying to find, like, I can't. Every time I turn on the news, every time Twitter,
I can't watch the news anymore, bro. I can't. No, dude, I try to stay informed. You know, I'm appointment television, 6:30 at night, ABC News with David Muir. But dude, it's getting to the point where I cannot watch the news. That's how dangerous it is right now, Dave. I mean, it's important for us to all stay informed, but I don't want to watch the news because it seems like it's more negative information on top of negative stuff. It's just it's one thing after another, man.
Yeah, I can't take it. Listen, I got to keep my 5-year-old and my 3-year-old busy, but in part of keeping them busy with the gardening and whatever we're doing, the picnics and everything else, it's just to keep my mind off of all the negativity. Like, I mean, there are so many different things that, like, you turn on the news, and between the news and my wife, WebMD, it's like, enough. I can't take it anymore.
You can't go on WebMD. You got to block her from that site. Don't you have parental controls? You can't let her on WebMD.
Oh, she lives on it, man. And then
Come on now?
Well, yeah, then this morning she comes to me. They're looking to get the teacher, a gift from the class. And one of the people wants to get an edible arrangement, and she's losing her mind. Why would you get an edible arrangement? This is not the time for fresh fruit.
100%. 100% agree, by the way.
Oh, my God.
It's crazy, man. I'm telling you.
Is that a quote? This is not the time for fresh fruit. That's such a great quote. With disdain, this is not the time for fresh fruit. How dare they?
Because she wanted to dive in and get the meat.
Yeah.
She did. She was looking for the meat. What can I do? I'm trying to be courteous. I got a full cart, and she comes bombing in and clips my Achilles.
Are you one of those guys that the cart is, like, overflowing? Like no one wants to be near you at the register because it can take you 45 minutes to check out?
Just, if I tell you something now, will you promise not to judge me?
Judge-free zone. Judge-free zone, Rico.
Okay, so I went in.
I don't know. Hang on. I don't know that I can make that deal right now.
All right. As long as Canty's not judging me. You're very judgy by nature. So so yeah, I go in yesterday.
You're funny today.
So I went. Oh, that's almost like a backhanded.
Isn't it though?
How so? I'm saying you're funny today.
You're funny today. As opposed to him not being funny every other day.
That was like a passive-aggressive Aaron Rodgers kind of quote. Like, I'm not funny. Yeah,
trade me. You
definitely
can't trade
out
me.
Of the Aaron Rodgers school of media training.
All right, so anyway. So here's what happened. So I had to go back-to-back. I didn't even tell you guys this yesterday. So I was sent 2 days ago to go to Whole Foods, right? We actually called Whole Foods just because they have the line, right? Like, you can't go in. Like, people come out, you get to go in. So we actually called. I said, Cassie's like, we have to go to Whole Foods. This is what we need. I said, all right, I'll go today. Can you just make sure, can you call maybe and see if it's crowded? Like, calls, line's not bad. So I jump in the car, mask, gloves, hood, glasses, everything. Get to Whole Foods. The line is wrapped around the building. So I'm like, I can't, this is going to take me an hour to get in the store. So I went to Stop and Shop. So I was like, okay, I can bang out some of the stuff at Stop and Shop, get what I need. So I get a bunch of stuff, not exactly, everything I needed. So yesterday she sends me to Whole Foods. So we pull up at Whole Foods, line's not crazy. So I jump out. I got this big list. Get in there just thinking because it's the afternoon. I'm like, everything's going to be gone like last time. There's going to be no meat. There'll be no, Cassie wants yeast because all she's doing is baking her face off. So I get in there, and all of a sudden, it's fully stocked, Dave. Fully stocked.
It's like Christmas morning. Okay.
They got everything.
So you're like taking things in twos and threes and just throwing them into the cart.
Well, I don't want to go back. So she says, okay, we need maple syrup. Well, if one is good. Two or three, so I'm loading up, dude. I got maple syrups. I got
how much money did you spend yesterday at the supermarket?
I'm not gonna tell you. Let's just say
you spent over $500, didn't you?
Let's just say, but by the time I was done and checked out, I needed to go outside and wash down another cart because it took me two carts to get all the groceries out of the cart.
I've never seen anything like that.
Cassie hasn't either. Like, it was almost comical.
The double cart.
It took her, I would say, because she's crazy, and she's got a Clorox wipe all the groceries, which is smart. It took her probably an hour and 30 minutes to clean off all the groceries when we got them home.
Wow.
That was aggressive.
An undertaking,
it was aggressive,
no doubt.
But all of a sudden, that switch clicked in my head where it was like, okay, this is probably the only time I'm going to be in here where they actually have everything I want, and I don't want to come back. So I went for it.
You succeeded. So from beginning to end, from you left the house to it was done being cleaned, how long did that take? 5 hours?
Yeah, probably close. I mean, I waited in line for a good, wait till you hear this too. So I'm in line and they have like Have you been to a Whole Foods yet, or you just been to ordering groceries?
I know. Okay, no, so, I mean, I have not been during this time, but I've been to Whole Foods.
Yeah, you've been to Whole Foods, but now, so Chris, I know you've been to Whole Foods recently.
Yes.
They have the, you know, how you wait outside is they
the
actually
blue
have
blue lines.
Exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm waiting on my blue line, right? And then there's a couple, an older couple in front of me, and then there's an older guy who's real talkative in front of them. So he's going into like his whole life story as I'm sitting here waiting in line. This is like probably, I was probably 40 minutes in line.
Like and Gump. Going back like he's telling you everything.
No, but he's not telling me. I'm listening to what he's telling the group in front of me, the couple in front of me. And they're going back and forth, and he starts telling them, you know, this is what I do, I'm in the city. And then he's convinced that his wife had COVID and he had COVID. And now they get into a fight because the one guy in front of me doesn't think he had COVID. He thinks he just had the flu. And the symptoms are different. And they're going back. This was like 15 minutes of them fighting. The one guy telling him, you know, I had it. Well, did you get tested? No, I didn't get tested. Well, how do you know? Did you have all the symptoms? This was like 15 straight minutes. And finally, they was like, okay, we'll agree to disagree. You could think you had it. I don't think you have it. All right. We'll talk later.
That sounds horrible. That sounds absolutely horrible.
Yeah, I don't understand that logic at all, Dave.
But you should
back
seen,
and forth arguing whether or not he has it.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine that if he did have it, it's in the best interest of the other person to be having a back and forth shouting match in front of Whole Foods.
No, you didn't have it. No, but what's funny, you had it.
But here's the funniest. So it was like the couple in front of me was a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, and the guy in front of them was the one that was telling the story. So the guys are going back and forth, and the second he said that he thinks he had COVID, you could see the wife of the guy in front of me like slowly taking steps backwards. It was
love it.
That is too much.
It's like he had a weapon. Man.
Slowly back away.
So we've heard rumblings that this might happen. And finally this morning, about half an hour before the show, Adam Schefter reported that the Cincinnati Bengals have parted ways with one Andy Dalton, and he is now available for any team to sign. Now, Chris, I know you and I had Field Yates on yesterday, and he was adamant that he thinks it's going to be Stidham and Hoyer as the quarterbacks. But now that Dalton's available, do you have these, I do at least, these pangs of a thought that maybe he winds up in New England?
Yeah, I mean, it would make a whole lot of sense, right? Veteran quarterback, knows his way around the NFL. I mean, he's competent, so he should be able to execute whatever system that Bill Belichick will have in place. So it does make a whole lot of sense. I just think it's a matter of making the money work. And right now, New England doesn't have a ton of cap space. So that could be, you know, a challenge in terms of trying to navigate it. But in terms of overall fit, I think Andy Dalton gives the Patriots a better chance to win the division than Jarrett Stidham does. So I think it's something that certainly should be on the board for the Patriots, but we said that about Cam Newton as well, and they haven't made a move. So I guess we have to play the waiting game in order to find out who Bill Belichick will tab as the guy that's going to be the QB1 going into training camp. But I just have a feeling that he's going to bring in a veteran quarterback. It's not going to be Jarrett Stidham or Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, I think it would depend on what Bill Belichick and the Patriots are trying to accomplish this season. I mean, under the current circumstances, unless, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers giving Rob Gronkowski the playbook like a month before anyone realized that he was going to come back to the NFL.
And then he's like, no, that was not true. I did not have it, in fact.
Yep, sorry, I was just joking.
Yeah, I was just kidding.
No, but I mean, if it's true, I mean, from what we've heard, if it's true that Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels really love Jarrett Stidham, I mean, what's in their best interest? You know, trying to win now with Andy Dalton or giving Jarrett Stidham the opportunity to try to go out and prove that he can be a starting quarterback?
I mean, if he's going to be good enough to be your starting quarterback, bringing in competition in the way of Cam Newton or Andy Dalton shouldn't affect that, right?
Well, I think bringing in Cam Newton would affect that.
You think so?
I think that's why. I mean, yeah, I just think, I mean, Cam Newton is too good, man. I mean, what he do on a practice field, I mean, the kind of energy he brings, I would be hard-pressed to think that all of a sudden, I mean, you watch Cam Newton do what he does in practice, and, you know, you lose a couple games, guys in that locker room going, why the hell aren't we playing Cam Newton?
So are we saying that, Cam Newton is overqualified to the point that he's not going to be on a roster going into the regular season?
Going into the regular season?
Yeah.
It's going to depend on what he wants. I mean, if he's okay with being... If he's okay with starting off as a backup, I mean, people keep saying Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville's, like not interested in really trying to win games.
I would agree with that.
I mean, so I don't think that. Maybe Denver. I think Denver would be a pretty good fit.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I always thought, I guess it's not going to happen. I always thought the Bears would be such a good fit for Cam Newton.
That's not going to happen with Nick Foles.
No, I know
though.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah,
but it would seem to me that it would make sense because if he's healthy, and I know he hasn't been healthy that much lately, but if he's healthy,
you don't know.
He's a game changing quarterback.
But that's the part of it that doesn't make sense to me, Dave. I mean, you know, clearly, if he were healthy and he were to be signed by the Patriots, he would be the best quarterback in the AFC East.
Yes,
I mean, I don't think that's even debatable. So the fact that you have an unproven commodity in Jarrett Stidham. I don't understand why you wouldn't bring in a veteran. Even if you thought Stidham was capable of being your starting quarterback, why you wouldn't bring in a proven veteran in order to push him? That's the part of it that just doesn't make sense. I mean, you can believe in a player all you want, but until you actually get him out there in regular season games, I don't think you know what you got. So for me, if you're in Bill Belichick's situation, knowing that he wants to catch Don Shula, knowing that he doesn't have a whole lot of years left in terms of being a head coach, you wouldn't look at this season as the year where you can experiment with a quarterback like Jarrett Stidham. You would at least want to have a contingency plan to fall back on if Jarrett Stidham proved not to be your starter.
Yeah, I just think at the moment, and again, this is just going off of what Bill Belichick and the Patriots are saying. I mean, if they do like Jarrett Stidham, I don't necessarily know bringing someone like Cam Newton into the building to compete is in the best interest of Jarrett Stidham going out there and performing the way they need him to perform. I mean, Brian Hoyer's been there. He knows the system. Like, he could actually help Jarrett Stidham as opposed to Cam comes in and, you know, who knows how long Jarrett Stidham keeps the job if Cam's healthy and in the building.
Well, I mean, you're saying he can help him from, you know, the watching the film and diving into the playbook. And I'm not taking that away from Brian Hoyer. I think that's absolutely correct. But in terms of pushing him, I don't think Jarrett Stidham would be pushed by somebody like Brian Hoyer. Brian Hoyer just doesn't have the talent to be a starting quarterback. We've seen it over and over again throughout his career in the NFL. I mean, when you look at somebody like Cam Newton, somebody like Andy Dalton, those are more talented quarterbacks. So I just feel like, if you're trying to get the most out of your players, if you're trying to get them to realize their full potential, competition always is a good way of making that happen, especially when you don't have an established quarterback.
I'll tell you what I would do. If I'm the Jets, I call him right now and try to get him as my backup quarterback. I mean, Andy Dalton would make me feel so much better as a Jets fan if I knew I had Andy Dalton, God forbid anything happened to Sam Darnold, as my backup.
No, we've already seen how that plays out. I mean, we've already seen what the offense looks like without Sam Darnold last season.
With fails.
Yeah, with fails. And now, I mean, James Morgan's nowhere near ready. No, you're 100% right. I mean, they need a veteran quarterback that can step in, God forbid something happens to Sam Darnold, and actually go out there and give you an opportunity to win games as opposed to what we saw last year, which was a train wreck.
No, that would be certainly in the Jets' best interest. I mean, Andy Dalton would be far better than what you had in Falk or fails or anybody else that's on their roster. But I guess I got to ask the question, if you're Andy Dalton, is that the place that you would want to go?
Well, I think you'd prefer to go to a place where you have a chance to start, right?
Yeah, and even if it's not this year, you would want to go to a place where you're probably dealing with an older starting quarterback and they're going to be looking to transition eventually to a younger option.
No, I would say the answer is no, that he probably wouldn't. I mean, if given every option, wouldn't want to wind up with the Jets. But if I'm the Jets,
Yeah, but what is every option? I mean, Sam Darnold hasn't been able to stay healthy. I mean, so you're looking at places that have, you know, for the moment, backup positions available where you have the potential to actually go and see some time and play games. And then hopefully, you know, next year reassess the market. Maybe there's a team that wants to give you a starting job somewhere.
Yeah, but you read that Jacksonville might be interested in Andy Dalton.
I think Pittsburgh is really interesting.
Yeah, Pittsburgh's an interesting spot. New England, if they would be willing to roll the dice on him. I mean, I don't know. If I was Andy Dalton, the Jets would not be my first choice just because they're so entrenched in Sam Darnold.
Yeah, but there's not a lot of great choices. I mean, the reality is there's not a lot of great choices. I mean, there's a lot of teams that, for the moment, really like their starting quarterbacks. I mean, I think Cam Newton would be a perfect fit in L.A. with the Rams.
But yeah, I don't think you can do that, though.
No, exactly right. I mean, so there are only so many places where you're going to get an opportunity to be a starting quarterback. Jacksonville would seem like the best spot for Cam Newton or Andy Dalton. I just don't know how much they're interested in actually trying to win as many games as possible this year.
And I agree with you. But I'm telling you, if the Jets go into the season with fails as their backup quarterback, I don't want to say franchise malpractice, but I don't think it's all that far from that.
No, they got to do something to address their backup quarterback situation. It's awful. I mean, there's nobody that can really help Sam Darnold in terms of his overall development into a pro quarterback. I mean, there's only so much that David Fales can help him with. You know what I mean? So, I mean, you got to find somebody. You know James Morgan, their fourth-round pick, is going to be on the roster, but he's not going to be able to help Sam either. So, I mean, you have to find somebody that has some experience in this league, and Andy Dalton seems like that would be the perfect fit, but then you'd have to sell Andy Dalton on why this would make sense for him.
Because you have a really personable head coach that creates really, really close relationships with the players.
No, I think you can groom one of the young stud quarterbacks, and as has been shown the first couple of years, there's a chance that you're going to wind up playing in some games during the course of a season.
That's how I would look at it. I mean, it's completely understandable. I mean, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, you know, landing spots for Jameis Winston. You know, Pittsburgh was brought up. We brought up the Saints. I mean, it was funny. I'm listening to the shows this morning, and you know what? If you knew Jameis Winston was going to sign for just over $1 million, why weren't there more opportunities? Well, because those other teams don't offer Jameis Winston the same opportunities that getting a chance to see Drew Brees every single day, how he prepares, how he leads, and then, oh, by the way, having Sean Payton as your head coach. Yeah. Oh, and on top of that, Teddy Bridgewater did the same thing, played in some games, and now he's the starting quarterback of the Carolina Panthers.
Right. And oh, by the way, this is it for Drew Brees. So if they like you, there's a chance that you're their starting quarterback moving forward next season as well.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
It was the absolute 100%
perfect fit.
Perfect fit. Because they can say what they want about Taysom Hill. I mean, by the way, Santiago, please do me a favor. Could you please get me the sound? Because Dave's going to lose his mind. The Jameis Winston sound talking about his LASIK eye surgery.
Oh, no. He says he's like all fixed now?
No. If he gets the sound, I'll play it for you in observations because your head will explode. Your head will legitimately explode live on the radio.
Well, that'd be good radio.
It'd be great radio.
Now, is there coming back from that? Like, once your head explodes, is there any recourse or is that it for me then?
Well, it depends on, I mean, if this is a Men in Black situation, it'll just go like, if you're Ty Lue, it'll grow back eventually.
Okay.
Like, we're still waiting for Ty Lue's head to
grow back. You ain't right for that.
He's got the Beetlejuice head, but they'll get back to normal sometime.
I'm the Jets. I make a play for Andy Dalton, though. Really?
You have to. You have to. Your quarterback doesn't stay healthy. You have
to. They're not going to. I don't think they're going to make that move.
The perfect option for him was Colt McCoy. That was the perfect option for him.
We had talked about it
before the Giants even signed him. I said Colt McCoy made the most sense.
I love Colt McCoy as a backup quarterback of the Giants. Love him.
He's got a cool name too.
Colt. But isn't he like the perfect backup quarterback?
He's the perfect backup, Dave. He's not going to make any waves. He's going to be helpful to the starting quarterback. And if you're in a pinch and he's got to play, he's competent enough to be able to give you a chance. He ain't going to lose the game for you. He's not going to win it, but he's not going to lose it.
Yeah, but if God forbid, look, Giants aren't going to be good to begin with, I don't think. But God forbid Daniel Jones goes down for a half or a week or 3 weeks.
Which is not off the board, seeing as how many times he got hit last year.
Right. Colt McCoy is more than competent. So that's exactly what I would want. I don't want a guy that's really going to have a chance to take the job, but I don't want a guy that the fans are going to clamor for if my starting quarterback has a bad game or two, but I want a guy that if my guy goes down for a half or a game or a couple of games is readily capable of coming in and being serviceable. Plus that defines Colt McCoy in my mind.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about the Colt McCoys of the world, Case Keenum, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Those guys that are career backups that we know can play, you know, that can play well if they're in the right situation and you want them only in spurts. I mean, it just feels like there were options for the Jets to pursue this offseason that they didn't really go after. They weren't proactive in trying to get those guys signed. So I think that's an important position, especially when you're trying to develop a young quarterback. I just think where Sam Darnold is right now, he can use somebody in that quarterback room that can be an asset to him in terms of being able to break down film, being able to digest the game plan, and then being able to execute series by series on the sidelines in games. I think that that's an invaluable resource, and it just feels like the Jets aren't prioritizing that.
Yeah, I would much rather Andy Dalton than Joe Flacco or anyone like that.
I agree with that.
You want a bold statement?
Ooh.
Not hot take, bold statement.
Bold statement.
The more I think of it.
So this is BS here.
This is BS. Mm-hmm. Tiny little nugget for you. So I was listening to Chris, I'm sure you saw this, and Dave, I'm sure you saw this too. We all realize that Lamar Jackson's going to be on the cover of Madden.
Yep.
So people are like, what about the Madden jinx? And he's like, well, if the jinx means, you know, winning the Super Bowl and being the Super Bowl MVP, I'll sign up for it. I'm starting to think. I'm like, oh, that's a great point. And then all of a sudden it hits me. You also forget that during the course of last season, between an ankle injury and almost and having a dislocated kneecap, I mean, he's lucky he didn't get Madden cursed, Pat Mahomes. I actually don't mind Cam Newton signing with the Ravens.
Just oh, I in like case. That. I like
just
that,
in case.
Yeah, I like that.
Because well, God
was their guy. RG3 was their guy last year, right?
He is their guy. Yeah.
Is he still the guy now?
Yeah, he's still their guy.
Yeah.
He's not
I could
going,
replace
he's
RG3 in a second. I could replace him in a second for Cam Newton.
Yeah, but it's not. That's I can tell you this. Knowing John Harbaugh, he's not going for that. RG3 is the perfect backup for what they want to do with Lamar Jackson, but more importantly for the culture that John wants in that locker room.
Where do we honestly think Cam Newton's going to end up? Is he going to have to wait until he can get in these buildings and get his foot and his shoulder checked out?
Maybe.
I think that's probably the thing that's holding this up to most, but I mean, to think that Cam Newton won't have an opportunity to be on an NFL roster by the time the regular season rolls around because of his big personality. To me, that just seems like I can understand the concerns, but I just don't see those being significant enough to keep him off of a roster. I just don't.
I agree with you, but just walk through the teams. Like, is there a fit out there for Cam Newton?
I mean, Dave, I don't know if there's a fit out there that's apparent, but I mean, you know, if Cam Newton is healthy, then you're talking about a guy that's a top 20 quarterback in this league. And so I don't understand why teams couldn't see value in having that guy on your roster, even if you do have an incumbent starter that you feel good about.
Because I think exactly what you said about Colt McCoy is exactly why people are having a hard time having Cam Newton as good as he is, if he's healthy, as their backup quarterback. Between fans and players on the team. I mean, it could cause a distraction. I know,
you're right. I'm not saying you're wrong. You're right. There are some teams that's going to scare off a little bit. But, I mean, it's that same conversation about when somebody goes to apply for a job and they're told that they're overqualified. And you're wondering, well, what the hell does that mean? I'm overqualified. If I can do the job, I can do the job. Shouldn't that be the only thing that matters?
Of course. Of course. You know, I don't think it'll happen, but New England still makes sense to me.
It really does, Dave. New England makes sense. I think that Pittsburgh situation is going to be interesting, too. I mean, we know that Roethlisberger is coming off of the injury, and everybody's saying that he'll be ready to go. But, I mean, we haven't seen a quarterback recover from that kind of injury at this advanced age. We don't know what Roethlisberger is going to be. And it'd be a shame to waste another year of having a top-flight defense.
Yeah. And then, like you said, Rick, politics get in the way. Because, I mean, when he's healthy, is he better than Goff? Probably so. But you can't bring him to the Rams.
Hey, would you guys dispute that? If Cam Newton is healthy, he's a top 20 quarterback?
No, I would actually say if Cam Newton is healthy, he told me he's healthy, he's probably higher than that.
I'm just throwing it out there, Dave.
Yeah, I don't even think it's up for debate, right? Rick, you wouldn't argue that. If he's healthy, he's a top 20 quarterback? 100%.
Well, I think the last time we saw him healthy, he was, 6-2 before he took that into his shoulder?
Yeah, 2018,
but I think
right?
But here's what we don't know, though, right? It is, you know, how much money does Cam Newton want? Does he want to step into a situation where he's going to be the starting quarterback? I mean, how does he want to play? Does he want to still be the Cam Newton that's going to tuck the ball and run? Because if that's the case and he's healthy, then you guys are 100% right. I mean, he's a dynamic weapon. And then, I mean, on top of that, there are a bunch of teams that are all in. Like, there are a bunch of teams that are looking to win a championship now. And if it's one of those teams that has a starting quarterback that, God forbid, you know, goes down, I mean, I would like to have the peace of mind that I have a backup that can step in and be as good.
Oh,
who's San Francisco's backup quarterback right now?
Is it the guy that lit up the Giants that Monday night?
Yes.
I can't remember
his
name.
It's Nick Mullins.
Nick Mullins, yeah.
Yeah, but they also got Rick's favorite, C.J. Beathard. He's still on the team.
I love C.J. Beathard. Yeah, but I mean, that. What about that? I mean, that. Could you imagine what Kyle Shanahan could do with that running game with Cam Newton?
Be terrifying. Be terrifying.
I actually think that offense would be a lot better with Cam Newton being able to.
But that's the problem. Like, you can't bring him somewhere. You can't bring him somewhere where the starter has a bad game and a half, and all of a sudden people are screaming from, if they're fans, screaming from the upper deck that we want Cam Newton in the game.
Yeah, that's a part of it. That's a part of the equation.
But Chris, especially after, which I still can't believe they did this, especially after John Lynch told Jimmy G that they were throwing around the possibility of bringing in Tom Brady and get rid of him. Now all of a sudden you imagine you signed Cam Newton. Oh, be ruined.
Yeah. I mean, that's a part of it. But you have to think about this too. And this is something I believe. If your starting quarterback's mental state, if his ego is that fragile, then is he really your franchise quarterback?
Yeah, but the reality is that a lot of these franchise quarterbacks do have fragile egos. I mean, Tom Brady had a fragile ego. I mean, maybe it's the reality of the position. I mean, most starting goalies I know, when you bring in someone with that's going to actually compete for the job, I mean, yeah, it's
no, I'm not.
It's not easy.
I'm not talking about it from that standpoint. I guess I'm looking at it from the standpoint they're afraid of competition at the position. If they're that afraid of competition at the position, is that really your guy? Kind of like what we heard from Mitch Trubisky and him talking about them wanting to shut off the televisions in the facility because they were saying bad stuff about him.
That's unbelievable.
Like, I mean, if his mental state is that fragile, if he doesn't have enough fortitude to work past you bringing in a guy like Cam Newton, is he really your starter? Is he really the guy that's going to win you a Super Bowl? That's the question.
Well, I think it depends, though, too. Here's the other thing, though, too, and we all know this. The reality of it is that, I mean, who do fans love the most? They always love
the backup quarterback.
The backup.
Yep.
So there's always that fear that you have a couple bad weeks, regardless of who you are, and then all of a sudden, because your backup quarterback is
people are clamoring for that
guy. Pretty good.
Yeah, that sucks, just think
man. That's not fun.
No, I know it's not fun, Rick, and I know the quarterback position is different than any other position in pro sports, but, you know, every coach that I've played for in the NFL preaches competition at every single position. Why? Because it brings out the best in you. Like, even John Wooden, who I think is the greatest coach of all time, talks about competition in his pyramid of success. Like, I just, for me to not bring in a quarterback that's as talented as Cam Newton because your starting quarterback is afraid of that competition, I don't know. That bothers me a little bit. I'm not saying that it's wrong. I'm not saying that it's not a real thing. I'm just saying that it bothers me a little.
All right, so tomorrow, Bill Barnwell at 11, and I'm learning Allen Houston at 11:30. Very exciting. Quite a packed Friday. And I'm efforting another special guest tomorrow on a very special Friday.
It's appointment radio, Dave.
It really is.
Yeah. Got a lot going on Friday.
Yeah. Now, we can't call this a football Friday like we did call last Friday, unfortunately.
No, we can't. We can't. But I'm excited to get Allen Houston's thoughts on all of these young kids in high school going to the G League rather than going to play college basketball. I think that's interesting.
As a college basketball fan, I don't like it at all.
I mean, I know you might not like it, Dave, but I mean, college basketball not letting these kids profit off of their name, image, and likeness has been ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. And here's the question then. Why are we having this charade? These guys are going to be earning $300,000-$500,000 a year playing professional basketball. Let's just open it back up and let them into the NBA.
Well, that's an NBA decision. The NCAA has nothing to do with that. Now, I think eventually the NBA is going to do that. But in the interim, I mean, these kids, you know, when they have to be faced with the choice of whether they're going to go play college basketball versus getting paid $300,000-$500,000, I think a lot of them are going to go make the decision to go ahead and be up front and get paid the cash to play a year in the G League before transitioning to the next level.
Yeah, I would say this, though. I mean, if at a certain point the NCAA smartens up, I mean, this whole, you know, players not benefiting off their likeness is like the, you know, the NFL with the marijuana policy. Like, I mean, why are we dying on this hill, right? It's, if you can offer these kids money, I mean, legal money to play college basketball, I mean, for me, just what that does to you, like, I mean, the stardom that provides you, I would still go college.
So you'd still go over $500,000?
Well, if you're talking about a couple $100,000 because I can benefit off my likeness and I get to play at Duke for a year, and then all of a sudden transition that into a humongous sneaker deal because, you know, I'm a college basketball star. I would do that.
Right. Yeah. Be interesting to see.
And plus, if you leave, you only really have to pay attention
to choose the G League now.
Well, they're choosing the G League because they can't make money in college.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. Yeah. And if you're going to give me $500,000 and it's not going to be the same G League where I'm traveling on buses and everything else, it's like it's the elite G League pathway program where I get treated different, then, I mean, don't have to worry about school, then yeah, you'd probably choose that. But if I can make a couple hundred grand off my likeness and be, you know, be a star at Duke,
mm-hmm.
I would definitely.
How much
that.
Money would Zion have made last year at Duke?
I'm sure he would have made a ton of money, Dave, but the part that I think is interesting, Mark Emmert said that the players would not be allowed to be a part of any advertisements where they're actually, you know, branded with their respective sport, which is strange to me. Like, I don't know how a kid, you know, gets that, you know, monetizes his name, image, and likeness if you're going to separate it from the sport that he plays.
Well, they just mean advertising. Like, you can't, like, there's some advertisement that you do that if you don't want the team involved, you can, like, I could, if I wanted to do whatever it is, some kind of advertisement, and they're like, okay, we want to be want people to recognize you as Rick DiPietro for the New York Islanders, I can't wear the Islanders logo on my jersey, but I can wear a white, blue, and orange jersey.
No, I know that makes sense. That actually is what I think should be allowed, but according to Mark Emmert, he's saying that you're not going to be allowed to be branded with your respective sport, which is ridiculous because the NCAA doesn't own the sport.
So how do you get branded then?
That's my question. That's the part of it that doesn't make sense.
NCAA is very, well, no, very interesting.
You don't believe that part of that is? It's like, you know how you have to pay, like, if I wanted to do it and wear an Islanders jersey, there'd have to be the company I was working with would have to have either a licensing fee or they'd have to break off the Islanders. So that, I'm sure that's part of it.
Yeah, but to me, that's just putting more hurdles in front of the athlete, and that's probably going to lead more talented players to making a different decision rather than going to college. Like, if I'm going to have to jump through all of these hoops to make a couple $100,000 where I can just go to the G League and they're going to be upfront and pay me $500,000, then why wouldn't I take what's behind door number two? I know there's a debate that we can save for another day. I'm just spitballing here, but it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense, the NCAA's approach to allowing kids to use their name, image, and likeness to make money.
It's a great conversation. Let's put it to the back burner for now because we don't have a ton of time and we have to get to Knobservations.
Do you need to feel better about your life?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Let's take a look at Rick's Knobservation.
Welcome back, dum-dum.
All right, here we go, fellas. To start with the good news, so you guys know for the last couple of weeks I've been talking about the All-In Challenge.
Yes.
So I've been updating you with, you know, how much some of the auction items are going for. We had Dave maybe potentially interested in the coin toss. Wait for this, Dave. Are you sitting
how
down?
How much did that go for?
No, I forget that for a second. Are you sitting down?
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to hear one of the auction items I just happened to stumble across?
I'm going
to
love it, aren't I?
Golf and dinner with Lawrence Taylor.
Now, if you guys were really great friends, you would bid on that for me.
Golf and dinner with Lawrence Taylor. Come on. I mean, if there was one auction
that's
item
Lawrence
made,
Taylor! That's Lawrence Taylor! Before every hole, that's what I would scream.
I mean, if Sherry, I mean, that could be.
What's that at?
13,000.
Boy, I wonder if she would have to give you a gift for, that we should do this.
I mean, when would she have to get you a gift ever again? I mean, that would be it, wouldn't it?
That would be it.
That's bucket list.
That would be it.
Thing that would make that so much more interesting, Rick, is if you put it in Las Vegas. Golf.
Well, you'd never hear from us again. Please,
with
me and Lawrence Taylor
and Dave
Vegas.
Rothenberg in Vegas.
You let this dude go to vacation, we're not going to see him. You let him go to Vegas, you're definitely not going to see him.
Exactly. Here's the question, though. Who leads who down the path in Vegas?
Well, pick
I think
poison.
If Lawrence Taylor decided that he wanted to go hit the craps table, Dave, you're not going to let him do it by himself.
Well, why would I?
Exactly.
Why would I?
Yeah, but I feel at a certain point you probably have to draw the line somewhere.
Couldn't you see the headline, though? Lawrence Taylor led astray by talk show host.
You'd be the fall guy. Absolutely. You would 100% be the fall guy.
Be happy to take it.
I don't know how you, a talk show host could lead Lawrence Taylor astray, but.
I could say something right now, but I don't want to get fired, so I'm just going to keep it to myself.
Yeah, keep it in the chamber, bro.
Very good.
Keep it in the chamber.
Yeah.
Here we go. Did this happen in Florida?
Florida.
So a man was recently arrested because he went against the stay-at-home order. And how did he go against this? Well, they found him sitting on a park bench with his pet goldfish.
Please tell me it was in the bowl.
It was in the bowl. Yeah, he said his goldfish needed to walk. And apparently one of the stipulations of the stay-home order is that you can take your pet out to relieve itself. So he told them that he was bringing out his goldfish for a walk and for the goldfish to relieve itself.
I mean, it's funny, but it's kind of pathetic, no?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. I mean, that's why it makes it a good observation story. It's just enough pathetic, also with some dumb mixed in.
I'm going to say that's not Florida because I think they'd let that slide. They'd be like, okay, well, it's fair. The goldfish needs to go. He's got him out, and that's fine. I'd say not Florida.
It probably wouldn't be a goldfish, though. It'd probably be like a...
Like an alligator.
Like a pet shark.
Yes.
On a leash.
I'd say not Florida.
Canty, Florida.
Yeah, I think you were talking about a more exotic fish if it's Florida, so I'm going to say not Florida.
Man took his piranha out to sit on the bench.
Police terrified.
Santi, Florida.
There's zero chance that kind of strict stay-at-home order is going to exist in Florida. Zero chance.
That's a great point. I gave you an easy one. That was Spain. That was actually
Spain.
In Spain. Mm-hmm. That was in Spain. Speaking of Florida, did you guys see the... So, you know the first husband in the Tiger King? He's got new teeth now.
Yes, but
yes. Yep. Yep.
It vanished.
This is why I love Twitter sometimes. Did you see, this is probably last week, did you see the post where it was the Patriots comeback and it was 28 and then dash and him smiling? 28.
I didn't, but that's gold.
All right, so now you're talking about Joe Exotic's first husband.
Yeah, Joe Exotic's first husband.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about Carol's first husband.
Oh, no, that was the most...
You gotta specify which first husband you're talking about when you're talking about the Tiger.
Did you see that one? The most feared duo in Florida, in Tampa? Brady and Gronk or Carol Baskin and her second husband? Oh, man. Here we go. One more. Did this happen in Florida before I get Dave's head to explode? This is interesting. So, you know how you can have food ordered and delivered to your house, or you can go, there's drive-thrus open?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So this is the best of all these different worlds. There is actually a strip club. Now, Florida is known for its strip clubs. I was there for Christmas Eve with the whole family. I told you that story before. This place has decided that they were going to merge the two. So you can go order food, and as you pull up to the drive-thru, you get a pole dance.
Where?
Is this Florida? You don't know. I'm asking you.
Where is the pole dance happening?
Yeah, right. The pole dance is outside.
Do they have to get into the car?
No. This is outside. There's actually, for $30, a customer gains access to the drive-through pole dance show where the food, typically pub fare, is delivered while the customer enjoys the show. You get one song, but the customer can pay for another as long. It's like an outdoor private dance. And if you tip, well, you also get to maybe stick around for another song.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So now here's the thing. It's got to be warm weather.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm torn here. It's got to be warm weather. It's going to take out the Northeast. Florida's very much in play. I'm going to say no, but I'm very torn here. I'm going to say not Florida.
This has to be Florida.
Does it?
It has to be. It absolutely has to be Florida.
What about you, Santiago? You're a big fan of the pole dance. What do you think, Florida or no?
I could have sworn you said Florida. I'm having flashbacks to yesterday. I could have sworn you said Florida at the beginning of it. But even so, it feels very Florida-y.
Well, you are incorrect. Dave Rothenberg, right again. That is an Oregon strip club.
What? In Oregon?
Yeah, this is actually an update from my previous observation. This is the same strip club that was doing Boober Eats. Remember Boober Eats?
Yes, I do. Exactly. It's a lot of strange things going on in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah,
very entrepreneurial.
There was unfortunately a cease and desist on Boober Eats.
And Boober Eats didn't stand the test of time, huh?
No, it's now called Boober's Delivery. Oh my goodness, you can't make this stuff up.
No more breast and thighs delivering.
Oh God, I'm dying. By the way, too, I'm getting real close to driving to Popeyes to get one of those chicken sandwiches.
Do it. Do it.
I see the commercial every single day.
I got a confession to make, Rico. I broke down and I ordered Popeyes chicken sandwiches yesterday, and they had them delivered by Uber Eats.
You've done nothing wrong.
Please tell me it was delicious.
It was outstanding. I mean, I turned the oven up a little bit, so as soon as they got there, I popped them in the oven with the fries. It was unbelievable.
God,
it was unbelievable.
All right, I'm being yelled at that you have to either go to break or move along quickly if you have another.
No, moving along quickly. Okay, so this is topical because Dave on his Saturday show was asked a question about Jameis Winston, and you joked, or he joked, you know, what if the LASIK surgery was the problem? And Dave said, if the LASIK surgery was the problem and they waited this long, 5 years into his career, everyone in Tampa should be fired. It's a disgrace.
Yeah.
So this is actually Jameis Winston yesterday in his introductory web whatever with the Saints about his eye surgery.
No blurriness. And I think that's huge. Depth perception has increased tremendously. And those are the big things. I didn't have bad eyes. You know, I just had those. I had astigmatism. I had certain things that they had to fix to increase the precision and the sharpness of my vision, and that's the biggest thing. Like, you know, I can say this. You know, when you're riding a car and say you get into an accident, but you can't read the license plate of the person who you just hit, but they just ran off because they didn't have insurance, right? Stuff like that. Like, I can read license plates. I can read street signs. I think the precision in the vision is the biggest difference.
I don't understand. For the life of me, we got to break quickly, but I don't understand. He couldn't read license plates. He couldn't see what street he was turning onto, and they never thought that there was an issue going on here?
And he had no depth perception.
Oh, come on. He's like, I didn't think it was a big deal. But I couldn't do this. I can't do this. I couldn't do this. I couldn't see that. I mean, come on.
Dave, beyond the playbook and anything that's football related, how the hell was this guy driving around not being able to read license plates and street signs? How did he get a driver's license?
It really is. It really
is. How is that even possible?
One of the great wonders.
DiPietro, Kathy, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.